Good morning. I'm Brooke Allen in for Mark Bayshore. He will be coming back, in fact, this Friday. But in the meantime, I am here with Rick Pluta and also Emily Lawler. And you know what? It happened. We are talking about the first highly anticipated presidential debate between Republican nominee Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. And I should start off by saying, much like the presidential candidates, we did have our own coin toss, and Emily is going to be covering Donald Trump this morning. Rick is going to be covering Hillary Clinton. By no means is this an endorsement by either one of them, so let me say that right off the bat.
I would endorse Emily Lawler.
Would you? I would as well, I would endorse you, Rick Pluta. So good morning. Thank you so much for being with us. So I have to admit, I had to go to bed right after watching the debate because it was so late. But I woke up at 2:30, and some key words on Twitter that I found at 2:30 in the morning were indifference, Pinocchio, lies, sniffles, bigly, TPP, and then comments on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this, were vote for Pedro, Amber Alert posted for Lester Holt, and a realtor friend of mine had also posted, if you're moving to Canada, let me be your realtor. So with that being said, what was your first impression of when the candidates came out, Emily?
You know, I think that Hillary Clinton had kind of a powerful stance right from the bat, right off the bat. She was wearing that bright red, kind of a powerful connotation, and Donald Trump took the blue tie approach, and, you know, I think he looked very businesslike. He could have been walking into a boardroom, but I think that they both kind of set the stage for a good debate. I was excited when they came out.
You know, in many respects, I think if you were someone who was completely checked out on the presidential race and just tuned in for the first time and went, oh, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they're running. It was almost like a distillation of the entire campaign in 90 minutes that, you know, you saw all the different Trumps on display. You saw Hillary Clinton, you know, struggling with that balance between being a warm human being. You know, she never stopped smiling, that she was talking about fighting ISIL, and she had this big grin on her face, you know, throughout, you know, that particular little soliloquy.
She was trying to be likable.
Be likable and competent and businesslike. And that was just all on display in this particular debate.
And they were very cordial at the beginning. I think it took 22 minutes by my timer that I had set.
Although he asked, may I call you secretary?
So yeah, he was being very polite at the beginning. So Donald Trump mentioned Michigan and Ohio, it seems.
And Pennsylvania.
And very, very quickly. I counted twice that he mentioned Michigan and Ohio, and then he mentioned Ford. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are easy points to make for people in Michigan and Ohio who have seen kind of the decline in manufacturing jobs or have felt personally that, you know, they can no longer graduate from high school and get a good paying job and, you know, fear that their kids won't be able to either. So, you know, part of his platform, part of making America great again is bringing back those types of jobs. So I think when he's mentioning the Michigan and Ohio as places that have lost a lot of jobs, really helped him score his one big, I thought, win of the night when he was talking about NAFTA.
Yeah, it was clearly a peek into his swing state strategy, where he thinks he can go. And we will be seeing Donald Trump here again in Michigan very, very soon. Yeah.
But it was interesting because he made a comment about Ford. And then on Twitter, Ford actually commented back and fact-checked him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that the Ford comment is interesting. I mean, he's been using that. I know I saw it in Warren first, I think, which was way back during Michigan's primary. So he's been hitting
Kalamazoo. He used it that I think Kalamazoo maybe where he first rolled out the I will do a big tax on Ford if you move jobs to Mexico.
So regardless of how many people have fact checked the fact that that might not actually happen, I think it's a point that he must think is working because he keeps using it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would submit that, you know, Donald Trump's entire campaign sort of rests on this idea that jobs are moving, then, and it is about globalization and trade deals, and it's not about, you know, more production efficiency and the mechanization of manufacturing and things like that. It's people moving people to, you know, to different places. And you know, no matter what, that there is a segment of the Trump electorate that believes it and refuses to believe anything else. And I think that brings us to, you know, something about this debate. You know, does anyone think that it really changed any minds in terms of Hillary Clinton supporters and Donald Trump supporters?
Well, see, that was the question, is did it change anyone's mind or did it just solidify the impression of the candidate you've already chosen?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the question is, you know, because everyone always asks, you know, who won, who lost.
Right.
And I don't think we can really answer that until, you know, we see some more public opinion research. But until we discern how many persuadable voters are out there and how many of those persuadable voters either tuned in for the debate or the coverage of the debate.
Right. Well, you know what? We actually had a producer out at one of our student election parties as part of my election. And this is what some students had to say. And they're going to be first-time voters.
I think what was really key to me tonight is coming in, just looking at, like, how prepared the two candidates were.
I think what impacted me the most was probably seeing how different their arguments were.
Donald Trump's looking at it more like, I want to help people, but I want to do it in a rough way. Hillary Clinton's more of the empathetic, gentle way.
He's a lot more opinionated and uses a lot more personal anecdotes.
Clinton has more of a plan than Donald Trump, but Donald Trump does have some sort of policy.
One of the most crucial issues right now is climate change. And now we just heard Donald Trump talk about how global warming and how it's a hoax.
And again, that was some reaction from first-time voters at MSU's Wilson Hall after a viewing of last night's presidential debate. And that is part of WKAR's My First Election collaboration with the University School of Journalism. And I am talking today with Rick Pluta of the Michigan Public Radio Network and MLive's Emily Lawler. And we are, of course, discussing last night's presidential debate. So that clip actually just ended on global warming. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a big segment last night. Of course, Donald Trump saying global warming a hoax. Hillary Clinton saying it's not. What was your reaction?
That they were both playing to their respective bases. And, you know, it's elections and in the modern era very much depend on turnout. And it might seem like sort of a truism, but the fact of the matter is you don't win if you don't get your voters out to the polls, if they're not inspired to get out for you. And so what Donald Trump was doing there was just reminding his voters, you know, I'm still on this. I'm still with you. We're not, you know, we're not quitting on that. Hillary Clinton doing the exact same to her base of, you know, basically progressive support.
So, Emily, do you think they made a strong case to get the vote out? Did Donald Trump do that?
Yeah, I think that Donald Trump, you know, it was kind of interesting. The first maybe 20 minutes of the debate, he was kind of calm, cool, collected. At first, I was like, this is a pretty different Donald Trump, right?
Teleprompter Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know, he really did seem to be very, very collected and be trying to get his point across. And then Hillary got under his skin a little bit. He got a little ruffled. And that's when I saw, like, the rally Donald Trump, right? So that's
right.
Exactly
you
the kind of
rhetoric.
You could
see him start to twitch.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
And stop looking down, stop trying to collect his thoughts, and just start talking, which is what we've seen at rallies. So I think really that midsection of the debate before he went back to the calm, cool, and collected is where he was appealing to his base the most. That was his rally speech, right? That was him pumping him up. That was him making really strong, forceful points, repeating things three times until they're right. So I think that he really did play to his base during a crucial segment of the debate. But if you just tuned into the beginning or just tuned into the end, you might not have gotten that.
And what about Hillary Clinton, Rick?
Yeah, I was trying so hard not to interrupt you, Emily, because, you know, it's just...
Keep your composure,
I know,
Rick Pluta. Come on.
It was interesting that she seemed, to me at least, to be more aware that the camera was always on her, that she was always either... And these visuals, James Fallows wrote a piece in The Atlantic. He's a former Jimmy Carter speechwriter who was there at the Carter-Ford debate. And he said that the most important things in these debates are the optics, how people look. Even when these zingers come out, that it's the visual of how the target of the zinger reacts that's so compelling. And like I said, she seemed to be very aware. So she was always either looking at him. She always had that smile on her face, except when she was looking down, taking notes, looking serious, you know. She looked like she showed up for a debate.
Right. And she said that.
Yeah.
I mean, she said, yes, I took time off, you know, I took
time off. To prepare for this, you know.
Prepare to be a president.
I prepared. And by the way, I also prepared to be president of the United States. Zing.
Exactly. You know. Exactly. And, you know, I know a lot of people were saying, you know, what's wrong with him? Why is he drinking so much water? He's sniffling. Is he sick? You know, and he had made comments about her when she had pneumonia. You know, so that was an issue last night as well.
Yeah, and I think it kind of came to a head when he tried to flip a question about her appearance to her stamina, which was kind of odd because, you know, she was being a really strong performer while he was sniffling and drinking a bunch of water.
And then there was that amazing, and that's the joke I was trying to make before. I don't know if it worked or not. But that exchange about temperament where he said, I have a great temperament to be president. She has an awful temperament to be president. Then she responded, and he jumped in and said, "You have an awful temperament. You have an awful temperament."
Yeah. Cue Alanis Morissette, you know, isn't it ironic? Mm. You know, exactly. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate their likability, Hillary's likability? Did she do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that she did. I think this was a good performance for her. You know, she was forceful when she needed to be. But, you know, actually that moment we just talked about where Trump talked about how his temperament was so much better, she kind of reacted by saying, whew, which I think is collectively what the American public was probably also thinking. Even if you're a Trump supporter, part of what you like about him is that he has this fiery temperament and he's not going to take crap from anyone. So I think that was an interesting moment in the debate, and I think she did come off as highly likable.
And how about
I think it looked at times like she was trying just a bit too hard. This was a suit that she was trying on and trying to, you know, figure out how it fits. And you know, we know that, you know, Hillary Clinton just doesn't have the same capacity to, you know, step forward and say, I feel your pain the way that Bill Clinton famously did in one of these debates and connect with people in exactly the same way. And so it'll be interesting to see what she and her campaign does with this going forward.
So how about Donald? Did he become presidential on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think?
Maybe a 7 presidential. I think he looked good at moments. I think he really did have some. The only moment I would say, again, when he got under Hillary's skin, I would say was in relation to NAFTA. It seemed like she didn't really have a clear response to his opposition to the trade deal. And I think he did have a pretty good night that way. However, I do think he was, to Rick's point about when the camera is on you, there's a split screen. You know, he was just looking down a lot. It almost looked like his eyes were closed. I'm not sure if he was looking at notes or just kind of thinking or listening to what she was saying. But I think that that might be his room for improvement in the next debate.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to rebel and refuse to play your game, but with an but with an explanation, which is that these are both, in many ways, such unconventional candidates that it's really hard to measure them by the metrics that we typically use to measure presidential candidates. And I mean, I know that Hillary Clinton has been around for a long time, but just this campaign cycle has been so weird. It's hard to look at that and say, okay, that was important to do, that succeeded, that's going to persuade more people to support you.
I'm throwing it away, Rick. Do you have like a normal 10-point scale?
I'm talking here.
This is your untraditional scale you're using now.
Yeah, I just don't know how, you know, like I said, how you measure success in the environment that we're witnessing.
So, the next debate, what do you think they'll change? I got you there.
Yeah, no, I'm giving it a thought. My guess is that Hillary Clinton may go for a little more gravitas, dark suit, a little less smiling, but still more
You're
human,
talking about
empathetic.
What she's wearing.
I am, and we did, you know. But the thing is that red suit, I think it was designed to get under Trump's skin. That instead of, you know, showing up in a business suit, he showed up in a typical dark suit, blue tie, white shirt, you know, sort of what you expect. That I think that so much of what she did up there was just designed to almost Trump, to keep him off balance, to do things that were not expected of her.
And do you think she managed that, Emily?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, I've been talking about the moment where Trump kind of got under her skin, but I think she got under his skin pretty repeatedly with precision. I think she was saying things that were specifically designed to get him to respond. And he did use his time responding to things like how big of a loan his father gave him, which is pretty irrelevant to the presidential right. race.
She never talked about his hands, though.
That might be what she's saving for the next
right?
day.
Exactly. That might be the capper. Mm. There's three debates between them. Which one do you think is going to matter the most? Do you think the first one, it had such a buildup? I mean, they were saying, you know, Super Bowl viewing numbers. Do you think the last one's going to matter the most? Or
I would. That's a great question. I would think the last one would matter the most just because, you know, those will be the most recent moments that
right.
people will remember,
as they're
making decisions. But, you know, certainly we could see something happen in the second debate. You know, candidates don't win debates as much as lose them. And so, you know, job one, two, and three, when you go into a debate, is don't do something that's disqualifying. You know, sort of the way that Dan Quayle in a vice presidential debate famously compared himself to John Kennedy, and Lloyd Benson was able to retort with, you know, I knew John Kennedy. John Kennedy was a friend of mine. You're no John Kennedy. And he just did that plaintive of, you know, that's not fair. That's not nice. And all of a sudden, Dan Quayle up there on stage looked like he was a little boy wearing the formal suit and shorts. You know, you don't want to do anything that disqualifies you first and foremost. And that can happen in any debate.
You know what? So today is actually, ironically, National Voter Registration Day. So I think the timing of that was probably pretty perfect. Mm. And I had a chance.
I'm registered.
Are you registered? Yeah. How about you, Emily? Are you registered?
Yes,
I am as well. So I actually had a chance to speak to Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, and she had this reminder for everyone.
The voter registration deadline for this November 8th election is 2 weeks out.
You said you're registered. You mm-hmm. said you're registered. And do you think, what do you think the voter turnout in Michigan is going to be for this election?
I mean, typically they're higher in presidential years. And I just think that on the one hand, the interest in this is so high that it could drive a lot of turnout. But also, you know, people are sort of fed up with the choices that they're being presented with. And the other thing, too, is, you know, the mechanics of what's called GOTV, get out the vote operations by both campaigns will really matter. And I know that the Democrats have thrown a lot into it. I don't know what kind of a GOTV effort the Trump campaign has.
And Emily?
I'm actually kind of worried that turnout will be really low. I think there are significant parts of each party who just aren't excited about their candidate or their party's candidate this election cycle. So, you know, maybe they'll turn out, maybe they'll vote down ballot, you know, or maybe they'll throw the obligatory check next to their party's candidate. But I think that for a lot of people, this election is coming down to two choices and they'd rather not choose either. So I think that could impact turnout in a big way.
Disenchantment is the big winner in this election cycle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll see. And of course, Donald Trump will be back in Detroit on Friday. Chelsea Clinton will be in Traverse City on
Friday.
He'll
be in Novi,
which
goes to show what a battleground Oakland County is. He needs to change his fortunes in Oakland County if he is going to change his fortunes in Michigan.
Okay. Thank you, Rick Pluta. And Emily, thank you so much for being with us. Emily Lawler from MLive. And of course, Rick Pluta, thank you so much for being with me.
Pleasure.